You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. And I feel like it's myself, Moritz, and CT with me again. But I feel like the Dallas Mavericks were also brought to you by NBA 2K24, because the way that they just be pressing double tap triangle and throwing up those lobs all night long, it was like an alley-oop festival in tonight's game, as the Dallas Mavericks took a 2-0 series lead on the road, 109 to 108 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're here to break down the game for you, but first and foremost, my brother CT, how you doing?
I'm here, baby. I'm here. It's Friday.
Hey, listen.
I'm so hyped right now. That was
Man, we were just talking before we started recording. CT was saying, I wish this went to overtime. And I mean, this was high-level basketball, high-level shot-making on both sides. Unfortunately, man, for the Timberwolves, the high-level shot-making was just Naz Reid. Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, no. But Naz Reid, man.
Oh, my goodness.
So for you guys who didn't see the game, Naz Reid went 7-for-9 from downtown to lead his team with 23 points off the bench. Anthony Edwards shot 5 of 17. Karl-Anthony Towns shot 4 of 16. Rudy Gobert shot 6 of 10. Jaden McDaniels shot 1 of 6. Mike Conley shot 7 of 14. And on the other side, Luka Doncic, 10 of 23 for 32 points. Kyrie Irving, quiet night scoring-wise by his usual standards, 20 points. Daniel Gafford gave them 16. Derek Lively gave them 14. That's why I was talking about all the lobs over the top. Because Derek Lively didn't miss a shot. Daniel Gafford went 8 of 10. Then PJ Washington and Derek Jones, neither of them hit a three-pointer. We talked about this after game one. They didn't hit a three-pointer. Dallas only made 12 threes in the game. So did Minnesota. But they still managed to get the win. And they got the win behind a Luka Doncic step-back three over the full-time defensive player of the year. Now, we're going to get into it. We're going to break it down. But CT, what was your overall takeaway from this game?
That was, like you said, high-level basketball. It was players doing the right thing. Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards did the right thing this game. They attacked the rim.
They started aggressive attacking. Ant was getting to the free throw line a lot in the start of the game. And this is one thing I want to say, by the way, just to interrupt. We put some clips on Instagram, TikTok, and whatnot about Karl-Anthony Towns needing to post up more. And the comments were filled by Timberwolves fans saying, no, he's a three-point shooter. He doesn't. This is 2024. You don't have to post up just because you're tall. If you can shoot this percent from three, the Timberwolves clearly agreed with us, because the first like three or four buckets from Towns were on the post. So I'm just saying. Sometimes, guys, maybe just take off the Timberwolves tinted glasses and just listen to what CT is saying. You know what I mean? But continue, my brother.
But then he's got to get to the free throw line. And you're not going to get to the free throw line shooting threes like that. So they had a good game plan. They switched it up, attacked the bucket. But it's Luka magic. Like, he was killing them. Another triple-double, and he's unstoppable. I mean, the worst play of the game is the last play of the game for his big shot. Why is Rudy Gobert in the game?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Everybody
knows
they're
going to
put him
into a faucet. We're going to get to that.
So it's like, yeah, so that was the only, like, why? But everybody knows what's about to happen.
We called it before we saw it. But, like, to start the game, and here's the thing. Throughout the game, Luka Doncic was clearly injured. There was possessions where he could barely move, especially on the defensive side. Like, we praised his defense on game one. Game two, you could see he's trying, but he could barely move laterally in this game. And somehow, he's still cooking up. But here's something interesting that I saw on Twitter. During the time that Anthony Edwards was checked out of the game from 7:53 to 5:31 in the fourth quarter, the Wolves guard put on a face mask to receive oxygen in the tunnel by the Minnesota bench. CT, I've never seen this before for a 22-year-old. Talk to me about this, because you're big on the recovery side and all of that for players.
He's having to play hard, and he plays both ends, and it's...
Is he missing the altitude of Denver?
Yeah, he's... But you got to give it to him. He's playing hard. It's just, man, you know, it's every possession, and it's like, and you saw it when he's got the ball in the first half and he's racing down the floor. And like, okay, bro, you can't do that all game. That's not sustainable.
You heard him say in the mic'd up segment that when he has to get into transition to get to the rim.
Yeah,
because half court is tough to get to the rim against his Dallas defense.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's gassed. I mean, it took a lot out of him. Like I said before, the Denver series, it took a lot out of him. But then, you know, this is a whole new monster, because he can't hide on the floor. They got to try to save him by taking him off Kyrie. And
to his credit, he doesn't want to hide. He takes the challenge head on. You got to love him. He doesn't want to hide like a lot of other stars, right?
But yeah, then he's going to be stuck in oxygen for the next two games.
At least if they can win one of those two games. Dallas Mavericks once again dominated the points in the paint. You know, I was watching this and I was a little worried with less than 2 minutes to go, the Mavericks down three, Kyrie Irving misses two free throws. Very uncharacteristic for him. And I'm not going to lie, a lot of people talk about the refs, but it's not the refs' fault in this one. But there was a play where the ball goes out of bounds and they call it Timberwolves ball and they challenge the call. And the referees reversed the call because it did come off McDaniels. However, when you look at the review, you can see that he's clearly fouled by Kyrie Irving.
Right.
But
right.
The rule book states that a coach's challenge for an out-of-bounds possession, they can only change possession. They can't retrospectively add in a foul call. So that rule definitely needs to change because that ended up changing the outcome of this game. It gave the Mavs an extra possession. Now, the Wolves did something interesting, and we talked about the defensive strategy, playing drop, playing blitz, hedging, all of that kind of stuff. But they did something interesting down the stretch. They subbed in Carl Anderson for Mike Conley, which allowed them to switch everything on pick and rolls.
Yes.
Now, it worked well. It worked well. With just over a minute to go after that inbounds, it worked very well. Okay. But then they come down the other way. Anthony Edwards turns the ball over. He throws it out of bounds. Dallas get the ball back with 13 seconds to go, down two. And then Luka Doncic gets the inbound. They set the screen and they switch Rudy Gobert onto Luka Doncic. Now, Rudy Gobert is the four-time defense player of the year. One of the best defenders we've seen. But guarding on the perimeter, we know that's not his game. We've seen it so many times. So my questions are this. Number one, why give up the switch so easily? Because it was a soft switch. It wasn't like a brutal screen that the defender got caught in. It was a soft switch. Number two, why not throw two defenders at Luka and get the ball out of his hands? Because I don't mind anyone else other than Luka or Kyrie taking a shot in that situation. I will live if PJ Washington hits a three to win. Okay. If Derrick Jones, here's the thing. Luka said in the post game, they weren't going to go for the three unless he got Rudy switched onto him. Their plan was to go for two and take overtime.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
He said it post game to the TNT crew that they only were going to go for the three if Rudy got switched onto him. And I think everyone in the world who watched this game knew what was about to happen. They left Rudy on an island. So if your plan is to switch everything, why is Rudy, even though he's defense player of the year and whatnot, why is he in the game? Because you know he can't guard on the perimeter like that.
That was the only mess up, but it was like, you ruined a great game with the dumbest play call, like the dumbest non-substitution.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was badly coached.
You know, the switch was bad enough, but just sit, trap them. Then two, you know, Daniels or whoever.
Or why not just try and get a reach-in foul?
Yeah.
Before he goes into his shot motion, of course, it's not three free throws. Why not go for a reach-in
foul? Yeah, but he had him on a wobble board real quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he as soon as that switch and he noticed it yeah, bro.
He creates the separation and he knocks down and then he screamed at him. He said, "You can't guard me, mother." Oh,
that looked personal, didn't it?
Oh, it was personal because in the first quarter, Rudy Gobert tried to take a transition foul on Luka, but he had a closed fist and he hit him in the chest.
Nah, Rudy, he took a chop. Yeah.
Rudy, where was that closed fist when Draymond had you in a headlock, huh? I just want to know.
That's that Euro on Euro crime.
Listen. All I know is Eurobasket, FIBA, Olympics, NBA. I'm taking Luka 10 times out of 10 against Rudy Gobert in any sense, in basketball, in tennis, in anything.
even so,
that was the possession that decided the game ultimately. And man, look, I never expected. And this is why it's so good to have you on the show, because I never expected the Timberwolves to lose this one. I thought they were going to win it. I thought they were going to win big.
They just don't match up well with the Mavs. And Kyrie is a problem. And Kyrie and Luka are a problem because they've learned to play with each other. And they're not your turn, my turn. It's, all right, you're cooking. Keep cooking. Let me do something else. And then when it's time, they both understand and the team understands Luka magic is real, and that dude is that dude. So it's a beautiful thing to see. And you would think, and I can't help but wonder what the Cavs are going to do with Donovan Mitchell in that situation, because they don't get along.
Nope.
And, you know, but guard to guard.
I want to get your perspective on this. If you're the Boston Celtics, obviously you want to take care of business against Indiana, who are great at home, and they've got two games at home now. But theoretically, who would you rather face in the finals? Do you match up better with the Timberwolves or the Mavericks?
If I'm the Celtics, because I want to win it, I want to go against the T-Pups, because
really
they're not ready for this moment.
Because the Celtics won convincingly in both matchups against Dallas this year.
Yeah, but I think they didn't have Gafford yet.
The last one was on March the 1st, and they did have Gafford, but he only played 5 minutes off the bench and started with Derek Lively. Yeah. They had PJ Washington, though.
Yeah,
but it was a different team.
Yeah, it's a different team, and they're playing at a different level. I mean, they're a different team because they've increased pace. They play better defense when they lock up and decide to get rebounds, like in this game tonight. They decided to finally start rebounding, and that just changed everything for the Wolves. I'm a Celtics. I want the Timberwolves because they're not ready for this moment.
Yeah, well,
in the regular season,
games, Celtics Timberwolves went to overtime, and they split them 1-1. So going on a regular season, you would think that the Mavericks are an easier matchup, even though there's never an easy matchup in the finals. But the way that the Mavs are rolling right now, and also when you think about the Timberwolves now, they've lost three of their last four games.
You know what? It's the playoffs, and they've had a good run, a great run. But, you know, the first series against Phoenix is a troubled team. It's a troubled roster. So they weren't going to win anyway.
Mm-mm.
And it proved itself out. They got swept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so second series, like I said, Timberwolves just expended way too much energy, had to move on. But that was a lot to beat Denver. And then now it's the Mavs. And unfortunately for, you know, shoot, anybody, Luka is built for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's that hurt and dinged up and injured and whatnot. And he's a triple-double? Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10 like, rebounds and 13 assists to go along with 32 points. Obviously, now the Celtics have got two games against the Pacers in Indiana. I loved what I heard from Joe Mazzulla in the locker room right after the last game. He went in there, and instead of celebrating, he says, right now, I want you all to think about what this team is going to do to try and beat us in the next one, because they have not lost a game at home in the playoffs. Mm. Do you see a way in which Indiana can win one or both of these games at home?
Depends on if Halliburton is available and able to play and play at his level, but I don't, he's hobbled. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Pacers to pick up that leadership that he offers, on court confidence that he offers, let alone his playmaking. But they, if any team, they're deep, and they're playing 10 people a night. So they could probably next man up it and get one of these next two. But if the Celtics don't go back into jacking threes and playing your turn, my turn, this should be a sweep.
I hope so. But, you know, we were saying that this Timberwolves game series should go seven, and I'm sure tomorrow we'll talk more about it ahead of game number three in that series. But you know, it's crazy to me that the defense player of the year, Rudy Gobert, in the last series, and I know Rudy does a lot of great things, and this is just me being a bit of a hater, but in the last series, he's not guarding the best player on the other team, Jokic. So he's not guarding the best bigs, and now he's not able to even try and guard the best premier player. What is he doing here?
It's tough, and this has been the reason why they typically taken him out. Like, he's not supposed to be in there that last play. It's like, come on now. Like, it sounds all good, but he's not a perimeter defender. He's a, you know, he's a help side monster and a rim protector like a few others, but you just ask Luka to put the dagger in you with him out there.
Mm-hmm. He was asking. He was like, I just can't get over the coaching in that last stretch of the game. I'm not blaming Rudy for that as well. Like, Rudy did what he could. And no one, and this is the thing. Draymond was getting onto Rudy after the game and on the TNT post-game show saying, "You're supposed to be the defense player of the year, get a stop." And then Kenny said something. He was, "Well, who in the NBA would get a stop in that situation?
Thank you.
Except for maybe Wemby. Except for maybe Wemby. I can't think of
Maybe.
anyone else I would feel comfortable in that situation with."
But there's really nobody because that's Luka. Like Luka does this. Like he's a professional shot maker and a tough shot maker and a playmaker at that. And I don't think there's anybody that would have stopped that play in that instance because that's what he does.
And that's his shot. I've seen him hit those for Real Madrid. I've seen him hit
It's,
those for Slovenia.
yes,
I've seen
he's
him
been
hit them
doing
for the
this
Mavericks.
a long time. Like he's a professional at that step back three.
That's what he
You
does.
know it's coming, and you st there's no one that can guard it. So sucks for Rudy. He happened to be the one. But Luka's done that probably not even joking 1,000 times in his basketball career.
And 10,000 more times in practice. That's his move.
Guaranteed.
That's his
Yep.
move. Create separation. So shout out to Luka Doncic. Shout out to the Mavericks. What a win.
Man,
Also,
crazy.
I want to say this as well. Shout out to Jason Kidd. Because all season long, Mavs fans say that they want to
Say
fire
that.
Jason Kidd. I've even been of the opinion at times watching them that maybe he's not the right coach. But this playoffs, he's been coaching really well.
This season he's been coaching. Like, think about this. Have you heard any of the nonsense from Kyrie?
Nothing.
Like, well, what happened to the crazy Kyrie? What happened to the most
Yep.
interesting person on earth, Kyrie? The dude's just
Mm.
been balling this season. So I shout out to Jason Kidd. Shout out to Nico Harrison for putting this team together like it's come together and grabbing some more pieces and
And here's
they
the
gotta
thing,
be.
right? I had a horrible take because when they made these moves for Gafford and PJ, they obviously gave up their future picks for this. And I said, is this the move that you're trading your future now for? Because if you don't win, Luka can leave and da, 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 da. But they've just proven me completely wrong. So respect to them for assembling the team and having the vision, because for me, it's very difficult to obviously know how quickly a team can gel when you make in-season trades.
Man.
Like if it's an off-season move, I kind of like that because you've got training camp to work. But so for Jason Kidd to be able to get these guys gelling whilst playing through the season, and to get them to this point is unbelievable. And the other person I want to shout out is Derek Lively,
I
because
was just gonna say that.
we've not seen a rookie, especially a big man rookie, play with this level of composure in a conference final since when? When did you last see a rookie playing like this in the conference finals?
Magic Johnson.
I mean, we see some great performances, like Jason Tatum as a rookie was fantastic in the playoffs, but like as a big, he makes quick decisions. This is the best part about his game for me. Like, we know he can block shots and alter shots. We know he can finish lobs. But when he gets the ball in that short roll and can zip the ball to his teammates as well,
He can pass, man.
people
He
don't
can
understand.
pass.
Like, that level of decision making, a lot of big men never get in their career. Like, Gafford doesn't have that, right? And Gafford is great, but he doesn't have that. And a lot of bigs don't develop that until further into their career. So, him coming in so young, one of the youngest players in the NBA, and being able to do this is absolutely unbelievable.
Well, I tell you, and most unbelievable is how Gafford and PJ came in and basically took Lively minutes away. But Lively got better.
He
Like
went to the bench and he's flourishing in that role.
he's better. Like he's one that he got better throughout the season. And then in the playoffs of a rookie, tough. They got a tough team, bro. Like it You got to look at the Mavs as a straight contender. Like, hopefully they get this one over with and give Luka some rest days. But Mavs-Celtics, man, that's going to be a
But
show.
if you're a Nuggets fan watching this series, how mad are you that you threw this one away? Because Cat and Ant don't look like they did in the previous series at all.
And I just think the Nuggets played the first two games too cool, entitled basketball, and finally got to it. And it just took too much to come all the way, to come back and finish that deal when you already gave Ant too much confidence and he was feeding off the press and loving the attention, and you know, so that's what happens. Hopefully they learn the lesson. Hopefully they get the, you know, some more bench.
Well, this is the thing. The series is far from done because the Denver Nuggets lost the first two games at home in the last series and still made this a seven-game series. So it is far from done. The Mavericks can't celebrate yet. The Boston Celtics can't celebrate yet. As tonight, they have game three against the Indiana Pacers. They got to stay locked in. Porzingis will not be back till game four or game five. If he goes to game five, I don't know if he'll be back this series, but they will definitely need him if they match up.
Guaranteed.
Because I don't want to get ahead of myself and talk about this, but Porzingis being able to take Lively or Gafford away from the rim is a huge difference maker.
Guaranteed.
But that's a whole nother conversation for if we do eventually make it there. But that's been another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. CT, we appreciate you guys. You come in and rock it with us. I know all the fans, all the audience, all the listeners, they appreciate it as well. And
thank you for having me.
We'll be back tomorrow if you're around. We'll be back tomorrow. It's always an honor to have you on the show. And salute to you for calling everything correctly from the last one.
Basketball's a beautiful thing, bro. That's all I do.
Yes, sir.
Be good at something.
Hey, man, you know the vibes. In the meantime, you guys know what it is. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, get buckets.